We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel. And like we mentioned last week, we are finally into the WNBA season. We're going to do some previews for you. We're going to tackle three teams every week for the next 4 weeks to get you ready for the upcoming 2024 season. Today, we'll be covering the Las Vegas Aces, the New York Liberty, and the Connecticut Sun, the top three teams from last year. Cal, are you ready?
So ready for the season already. It's cool that we have this 4 weeks to chill and to preview these teams. I'm ready for women's basketball to be back. Like I know we got some other stuff, the 3-on-3 that you were telling me about off air, but I'm ready for the WNBA.
Yeah. Shout out to 3x3 basketball. The FIBA women's series is starting this week. So as you're hearing this episode on Tuesday, will be the first stop in Springfield. Canada's number one seed. They're defending back-to-back champions. They won the last 2 years. So I don't know. Just keep an eye out. But for those who have been following our college basketball coverage as well, Haley Van Lith and Cameron Brink will both be playing for USA. So those are some names that you might know if you want to tune in. And you can watch all that on the FIBA 3x3 channel. All right. Let's get into the WNBA. Let's get into, of course, where better to start than the defending champions, the Las Vegas Aces. And we've kind of touched a little bit on, you know, what they might look like in this upcoming season. We touched a little bit on their who makes the opening day roster last week when we were talking about the WNBA draft and all these players that the Aces drafted. But when we really take a look at this roster, and I think we can agree, Asia, Kelsey, Chelsea, Jackie, Alicia Clark are locks for this team. They're all on protected contracts. They are the core of the Aces. In my pretty much locks here, I have, of course, Kia Stokes, Candace Parker, Megan Gustafson, who they traded for or signed. Traded? Was it a trade? I don't even remember how much free agent.
I believe they signed her happened. As a free
they
agent.
They signed her. I mean, hey, props to the Aces because they just keep doing really great things. And Sydney Colson, who is on, like, if per her hoop stats, like, she's on a training camp contract, but, like, we know her importance to this Aces team. We've talked about it multiple times. So yes, I have her as a pretty much lock for this team. And that kind of leaves three spots left, Cal. So like if you had to look at the Aces and the people that they've signed now from the draft and like the training camp contracts, like what is this opening day roster going to look like in your eyes?
It's possible there's only two spots depending on how they play this because of the cap room. They have a maximum of three spots, but they could keep two and then leave a little bit of room for flexibility throughout the season to to sign someone mid-season, or if they just, the two that they want to keep happen to be two that are on a little bit more of an expensive deal that doesn't quite, where the math doesn't add up, because their cap room is $218,000 according to our cap sheets at Herb Stats. And without getting all the math that's going to bore people, basically it's borderline whether they can fit three into that space or not. They could keep three if they want. They have Kirsten Bell, I think, is a front runner because obviously she's been with this team a couple years already. They also brought in Bria Hartley over the offseason. And then you have some rookies. You have De'Asia Fair. You have Kate Martin. They signed Bria Beal to a training camp contract. Not exactly a rookie, but I believe she would count as a rookie if she made the team and played this season. She was part of the draft class a year ago. So a lot of options. Very interested to see where they go. Like you said, Sid Colson is a lock. I like that you put pretty much locks here for these ones that are not technically on protected contracts, because obviously that first group is basically your starters and your protected ones, and then the next ones. But Sid Colson is the face of the league. She's the heart and soul of the team. She's a lock. Megan Gustafson, very excited for what she's going to bring. I think that was a really sneaky, underrated deal of the offseason across the league, because she's not a big splash in terms of an all-star or anything, but for what this team needs and for sort of replacing Kayla George in that role, I think she's going to be huge. So they did a lot of good things, and now we get to see how they kind of fill out the end of it in these next few weeks.
Yeah, and you know, with training camp starting next week, I'm interested to see how fast they kind of announce these moves, because there are such limited spots left on this Aces roster, and with training camp kind of beginning in the next week or so, it might give some of these players a chance to maybe try out for some other teams that maybe have more spots and would be more willing to look at them. Because you look at like the players that they drafted in Kate Martin, De'Asia Fair, and you know, they're both part of Kelsey Plum's dog class. It's interesting because so many options, Bria Beal, like you said, and then so little spots. So I'm really interested to see who ends up making that Aces roster and what the rest of the players kind of do, because unfortunately, there are going to be some of your faves getting cut. But this offseason and going into this season for the Las Vegas Aces, there's like a lot of different factors. A, them being defending champions. Once again, everybody's just playing to compete against the Las Vegas Aces. Like we said, adding Megan was huge for them. And then I also kind of put in, is this Candace's last run? Because that was one of the biggest questions that we had before she announced that she would be signing that one more deal with the Aces. Obviously was injured for the majority of last season, so we didn't really get to see her play a ton with the Aces, but she was very vocal on the bench. Having Candace, like, that was one of the best moves that the Aces made last year, being able to sign her. What are you kind of looking forward for this team? And maybe now Candace, you know, hopefully being healthy for this, like, maybe one last push for her in the W.
That's exactly what I'm looking forward to. That's what, and I didn't share my notes with Karina beforehand, but that's what I had in my notes, is what I'm looking forward to is Candace, hopefully, knock on wood, being healthy. And healthy is relative when you're the second oldest player in the league. She turned 38 the other day. Happy birthday to Candace, by the way.
She doesn't age though. That
no
the face card does not decline.
you're exactly right. But we'll see her miss a game or two here or there. You know, no one's expecting her to play 40 games. That's how it works. But as opposed to last year, where you have a season-ending injury in the middle of the season and it's more of a long-term thing, I really hope that all we see this year is sort of those load management type here or there, and that she's really still at full strength as much as possible at the end of the season and when they get to the playoffs, because that's when the Aces are so fun anyway. But that's when we saw, like, when you put Candace into that mix too, just how entertaining is this team, and how cool is it to watch one of the best players of all time play next to some of these players who are going to be some of the best players of all time that are still earlier in their careers. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And then I'm also just looking forward to what we already talked about, kind of how they fill out the end of the bench and how that maybe impacts the depth that has always been the biggest question for them during this sort of dynasty run that they haven't really needed a ton of depth. And last year, when they did finally need it at the end of the finals, it came through for them. Sid Colson played big minutes and Caleb George did as well at the end of the finals. But for the most part, they've been able to get away with playing their starters pretty heavy minutes. But it'll be interesting to see how they fill out that depth in training camp, like we talked about.
Yeah, for sure. Especially as like some of these other teams that we're going to talk about continue to make moves to kind of battle that too. Obviously, Chelsea Gray got injured at the end of last year too, but she seems to be back in the gym and gearing up to another season. Kia Stokes as well. So yeah, really, really interested to see what happens. And just as a final thing before we move on to our next team, because as we know, the news about Caitlin Clark and her signature shoot came out, and rightfully so, people were kind of questioning, you know, why hasn't Asia's shoe come along yet? And like everything that we talked about in terms of the media disparity in the coverage and the treatment of like these different players. And shout out to Cece, 8-figure deal. Please, can I have some of that? Because I need that. I would like that. But I saw people go way too far in the other direction and just start really, truly disrespecting Asia Wilson, like calling her things that like not marketable, nobody knowing her. And I was like, hold on, pause, wait, let's just stop. Because what do you mean you don't know who Asia Wilson is? Or what do you mean she's not marketable? Because that to me just tells me you're just blatantly being disrespectful and you don't understand marketing or just like covering players in general. Everybody kind of posted her accolades on Twitter, and yeah, she has like, first of all, one of the best resumes already, and she's only starting kind of her peak. And we have so much Asia Wilson left to watch, but I think it's also the stuff that she does outside of basketball that I think just make her the person that she is. Like, I even posted when all this was happening, I did a Q&A with her in like 2021. She was participating in this like drive thing for like kids in Las Vegas that she was in collaboration with like Dick's Sporting Goods. And they were handing out stuff to the community, like sports gear, all these like different resources. And she participates and she has this initiative to like just give back to her community and be somebody who gives back on a regular basis. And she does it with so much grace. She's always fantastic in media. Like, she's herself. Like, she's just, there's so many good qualities that make Asia Wilson who she is. And somebody that we talked about her potentially being the future GOAT when this is all said and done in her career, and kind of seeing how she kind of stacks up against some of the other legends of the game. And so, I don't know. I just have to put that out there. People need to just relax, be respectful, and enjoy the players for who they are. Just because one player, you know, gets an accolade or gets something, it doesn't mean you start degrading every other player around them. Especially in women's basketball, where there's so much room to just be so much more equitable in terms of the coverage that you're giving to every single player, because every single player has a different story. And I think that's what we tend to forget sometimes.
I was so glad when I saw you put that in the notes, because Asia Wilson is the definition of marketable, and it's all the things you said. She puts so much good into the world, and you can list everything she's done on the basketball court. That's great. But who she is as a person, and she's fun. She has amazing energy. She lights up a room, and she lights up the, like you said, press conferences and anyone who talks to her. She has so many fans, rightfully so, who, including me, and I know you, Cree, would too, if she got a shoe, would be the first ones to go buy it immediately. So yeah. I don't know what we're doing here. Caitlin Clark deserves a shoe. So does Asia Wilson. Can't wait till it happens, because it's got to be only a matter of time, I would hope. But I don't know how anyone would look at Asia Wilson, either on or off the court, and think that Nike couldn't market what she is. She's one of the most marketable people on the planet.
And also, last thing before we move on, I saw her blonde hair in the photo shoots that she was doing for USA Basketball and Aces. And I just want to say, that blonde hair better still be there by the time it gets training camp, because I absolutely love it, and it is such a slay. That is my last words on this. I love it. But okay, That was the Las Vegas Aces. Let's move on to New York Liberty here in just a second.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, number two team from last season, the New York Liberty. They lost in the finals to the Aces, like we just mentioned. I think when looking at this team for this upcoming season, the way that I want to kind of attack it is kind of the big picture for the Liberty. Can this team run it back? And what are some expectations that we should have for them for this upcoming season?
They can. I mean, it's pretty much the same team for the most part that they had last year with a few changes on the bench. But when you look at last year, like on one hand, they weren't that close when you look at the fact that the Aces were missing some really key pieces and still went into New York's building and beat them in game four. On the other hand, New York was basically a shot away from having a winner take all for the finals. So they weren't that far either. And when you start off the season the way they did with the chemistry still developing and didn't have a whole lot of practice time with all the new pieces that they brought in with some of the injuries, Jonquo was coming off that injury from the previous year finals and things like that. It really took them a while to sort of get that ball rolling. And when they did, and then they got to the playoffs and Breanna Stewart played probably, to be honest, the worst month of basketball that we'll ever see her play. And I don't see that happening again. I know she had a lot going on. And I'm not reading into it. I think they get to the playoffs this year and she's going to look a lot different. So they are right there. They're clearly number two. The Aces have built that gap, but the Liberty are within striking distance enough that they definitely can run it back to answer your question. And, you know, they lost a few pieces on the bench, but they brought in a few exciting pieces too that we can talk about here in a minute as well. But I think they have every shot to be at least as good as they were last year.
Yeah. And on that Stewie front too, I kind of wrote this in my notes in terms of like specific developments that I want to see with the roster. And you mentioned that being kind of the worst month of basketball that we saw Stewie play, but I think it also kind of exposed a bit of a hole in the way that the Liberty play their offense, in that when stuff is not working, they just kind of would give the ball to Stewie and hope that she would just create out of that. And as much as you do that because she is a superstar of your team and we know who Stewie is as a player, when it's not on, it doesn't work. And I think in terms of building chemistry with the team, the Liberty were at their best when they were sharing the ball and everybody was moving and everybody was able to get theirs, because having a superstar is important. And but it's also like we talked about, and that's why the Las Vegas Aces are so good. It's the pieces around as well that make everything work. Like, although Asia, you could consider her to be the superstar of the Aces, like, you need a Chelsea Gray. You need a Kelsey Plum. You need a Jackie Young. Like, you need these high caliber players that if someone's having an off night, you know that you can give it to somebody else and let them work, or just keep finding these open looks. And I think that's what I'm looking for with the Liberty. I think with everybody going into the season, knock on wood, being healthy, having a chance to play again, I think that's also one of the Liberty strengths, is that when they do get to play together, you do see the palpable growth in chemistry and being able to play together. And so I think it's going to look even better than it was last year. And to make it to the finals, like, you gained experience with a team that all people talked about was new and hadn't played with each other that much. And so I think that still plays a big role, and maybe some extra motivation for the way that they went out in the WNBA finals too. Like, don't underestimate that. They might be coming for it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, definitely. And to your point about the chemistry, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it's a huge deal that when you look at, like, one of the factors among many why the Aces are so good is because of that chemistry that they've been able to develop across several years now. And they were always good, and they always had talent. They weren't what they are now just a few years ago when they were still developing that. And they're always going to have more chemistry than the Liberty because of who they are. That's the Aces are one of, whatever the adjective is for chemistry, that's what the Aces, among all sports teams, I think the Aces have as much chemistry as basically anyone you ever see. But the Liberty are definitely going to take a step forward in that department now, which is a big deal, because like you said, the Liberty are at their best when they're moving the ball. And when you see that ball popping, especially at home, and then that crowd gets juiced, and you start hitting shots all over the place, because when that ball is swinging around, someone's got an open shot, and there's always shooters out there. Like, that's when the Liberty are really, really tough to beat. And we even saw them beat the Aces a couple times, you know, in the regular season, of course, and once in the playoffs when they were playing like that. So that's what it's going to take, just more consistently getting to that level.
And looking at the rest of this roster heading into training camp, are there any remaining moves that you want to see them make? I wrote in my notes, I'm guessing both Niara and Markeisha make the roster. There are a couple of changes, like you said. Marine Johannes, she may not come over because of the Olympics. I don't know if she would be allowed in the second half of the season. I'm not really sure what the rules are on that. I think this year is also, it being an Olympic year, is a little bit interesting, because a lot of players have kind of said, well, I just am not going to be able to come over because my commitments this year are going to be with my respective national team. So I think that is also going to play a very interesting factor when it comes to how certain teams perform and which players are able to kind of retain. But are there any remaining moves that you want to see Liberty make, or like maybe any thoughts on the people that they have on the roster right now?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything significant that they need to do, but in terms of the end of this roster, like you said, like, Niara Sabali is probably going to make the team, and you have Marquisha Davis, who they drafted. There's a few other spots. I think Ivana Dojkic has a decent shot to make the team. And I was talking to Miles Ehrlich about this the other day, our Liberty expert friend. Go follow him for all of the Liberty stuff. So he kind of gave me the rundown here. Shout out Miles. Leonie Fibish, someone who I was not as familiar with, as someone who follows college and WNBA much more than the international game. And maybe a lot of listeners, that's the case as well. But someone who Miles thinks, and once I got looking into it, I agree with him, has a really good shot to make an impact this year. Someone who's put up some elite numbers in terms of shooting in international play and overseas, and also someone who can create off the bounce, someone who can come in with that second unit and really help that offense when they do, like you said, get stalled every now and then. So has a good shot to make the roster as well, and maybe even be a big part of this rotation. And then someone who personally, I think, I don't know if they'll have room for her. It looks like cap wise, probably not, unless one of those players we just listed doesn't make the roster. But Jalen Sherrod didn't even get drafted, put her in on a training camp contract. That's someone I think could make a big impact with this team once she gets a little bit of WNBA experience, if she were to make the roster. Like I said, it's tough. I wish we had a little bit more rosters, like bigger rosters in the WNBA. I wish we had 14, 15, a little bit of bigger cap, but it's someone that I'll be watching, because I do think she can have an impact somewhere. And I think this would be a good team for her to come in and get a few minutes at a time and really just kind of change up the pace and change up the look. So that's what I'm looking for at the end of this roster. But like you said, Marine not coming back, it's going to look a little bit different, but still, I think equally as dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sad, but at least we get to watch her play with France during the Olympic year. I'm excited to see her, because Marine overseas and with her home team is a whole different beast. And so I'm really excited for people to kind of watch her on the biggest stage. But all right, let's move on to our last team for this week, and that is the Connecticut Sun. They were third in the season last year. Taking a look at this core, which is kind of the big question slash like thing revolving them, Bree Jones is going to be back. As we know, the Sun didn't have her last year. She had that season-ending injury. First of all, how excited are you to see Bree reunited with Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas?
So excited. This is an unbelievable front court when you put them all together and when we haven't gotten a chance to see them all together as much as we would have liked. But now we get to, hopefully for the entire season. That keeps being the theme, right? Knock on wood, health, 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 blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we get it all year. And then when looking at this roster, what's interesting to me is that the backcourt looks so different than it has in the past, because they still have that elite front court with your MVP candidate and Alyssa Thomas. And then, of course, Dawana Bonner, who is another one who seems to just never age.
Jones coming back. MVP of my fantasy team last season. So,
yeah, at 37 or however old she is.
Remarkable. They laughed at me when I picked her, and I ended up having the last.
Who was laughing at the end?
Exactly.
But the backcourt is what I'm interested in, because they brought in Mariah Jefferson, who I think is a great move. I'm a big fan of Mariah Jefferson, and obviously Tiffany Mitchell, Rachel Banham, some veterans, but you also have some young pieces in Ty Harris, Dejanay Carrington, who I could easily see at least one of those two sort of having a breakout year on this team with the way that the backcourt is sort of wide open for minutes among that group. Jocelyn Willoughby as well on a training camp contract, Shea Petty on a training camp contract. A lot of interesting pieces in the backcourt. No one sort of star that's going to stand out. Mariah Jefferson maybe at the top of the list, but it'll be really interesting to see, I think, how they develop the roster specifically in the backcourt, and then also how Steph White sort of forms the rotation in the backcourt, because I think there's a lot of different directions you can go, and I think it's going to be a feeling out process early in the year, kind of see who fits, who doesn't, and also maybe from game to game, you know, hot hand, who's playing well, who's not. I think you have a lot of different options with this backcourt. Your front court, you have your big three, and that's who you're rolling with. And in the backcourt, who knows? Any given day, it could look different, which I think will be really kind of fun to follow as this team progresses throughout the year.
Yeah, and obviously they did lose Beck Allen in the offseason. I'm curious, like, your thoughts on how much that hurts them. Does Olivia Nelson-Adota continue to maybe get a bit of a bigger role, depending on to how healthy this team ends up being, when you kind of look at this roster?
I hope so, because I think she's got a lot of potential, and obviously she's just been playing behind some elite front court players for her whole short career now. But in terms of Beck Allen, and they lost Natisha Heidemann as well, that is a big loss. Beck
and Tip Hayes retired. Forgot about
and
that.
And Tip Hayes, oh, exactly. The entire backcourt turned over from last year to this year with this team. So it's going to look a lot different. I think Beck Allen in particular, 3-and-D is just like my favorite type of basketball player, and she epitomizes that. So big time get for the Mercury. Obviously going to feel the void for the Connecticut Sun from her. But it's up to Steph White to sort of figure out how to replace that production with this group of players that we just listed. And she's the coach of the year, so obviously she can do it.
About to be broadcaster of the year too, with all these gigs she'd be getting.
Yeah, no kidding. I love her as a broadcaster, by the way. Yeah. Just a side note, I really enjoy listening to Steph White on any basketball game. I think she does a great job, and her analysis is always spot on. So just wanted to slide that in there.
No, she's great. Like, she is booked and busy. Like, I feel like she has not stopped to take a breath. So this Sun team better be ready heading into training camp, because she's going to be on them. She's going to be ready. Coach of the year, really excited to see what she does, especially with Bree Jones being back in the lineup. Last question before we wrap things up. When you look at these three teams, the Aces, the Liberty, the Sun, I know, you know, we've talked about early rankings and our thoughts on those, and they might not even end up mattering. But like, if you had to rank these three teams going into the season, where would you have them? Even if it's like you still have the 1-2-3, but like, are there any teams that would be way farther up than the others, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it does. And this we're only got a few weeks left to the season, so it's not as early. It's not the same as ranking college teams.
Yeah, true.
I think that the order that we covered them and the order that they finished last year is the order that they're going to finish again this year, in my opinion. But just out of these three teams, Aces, Liberty, Sun. But I'm not sure if the Sun are going to be third again. I think with what they lost in the backcourt, and really more importantly to me, what the Storm did, and we'll get to them next week, or maybe I forget when we're covering. Maybe it's the week after. Whenever we talk about the Storm in our previews, obviously that team changed drastically with what they did, and I think the Storm sort of passed up the Sun. So in terms of the overall standings, I think, you know, last year it felt like the big cluster was kind of in the middle of the standings, but it was clear who was number one, it was clear who was number two, and it was clear who was number three. I think that's the case again this year for me, except to me, the Storm are that number three team pretty clearly. And then you start to have that cluster, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. And the Sun could be towards the top of that tier still, I think. But the Storm might take some time to get going like the Liberty did last year. But I do think that the Sun are still very much like playoff contenders and could be hosting a playoff series potentially. But we'll see. Steph White has definitely her hands full trying to replace the backcourt production and keep them, you know, at the top of the standings.
And it's funny because I saw Dejanay Carrington, I think she tweeted something like, Caitlin Clark's going to be the best passer in the W this season. And Alyssa Thomas made her return to Twitter to just be like, don't play with me. And now she's like, now I'm back just because of this. So when we talk about motivation and that fire, I think Alyssa Thomas is coming for her things again this season. As we know, she was in top talks for MVP last season, and the fact that she made her return to Twitter just to be like, hey, yo, teammate, don't be saying this about, I'm, don't do that.
That's how you know it's serious. Get her on Twitter.
DB's on Twitter again. Alyssa Thomas is on Twitter again. I feel like WNBA Mondays are about to be very, very fun this upcoming season. I'm really excited for all the storylines. So yeah, that was the Las Vegas Aces, New York Liberty, and our Connecticut Sun previews for the upcoming season. We'll wait to see how rosters kind of shake out as we head into training camp next week. And I think, believe, like I said last week, the finalized date for rosters is May 13, which is one day before the regular season starts. So we may have drama right up until the end, but we'll see. But we'll be back next week with some more team previews heading into the season. So make sure you're tapped into Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats podcast network. You can follow us on social media at Her Hoop Stats, myself at KrinaMM, Calvin at CWetzel31. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts for Her Hoop Stats, and sub to YouTube because that's the place to be. We always love reading all the comments and engagement. So yeah, we'll see you next week. And this has been Coast to Coast.